This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to Parsha Share, Parshas of Vayera. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golka@gmail.com and I'll send you the handout. I don't know if we'll have time, it's late already, but let's try and see how much we can do. But the main theme of this week's Parsha is, of course, the Makkos. In Parshas of Vayera, we have seven of the ten Makkos, and I came across a very beautiful Kliyokar. The Kliyokar makes reference to what we are familiar with from Seder night, because he talks about the ten makkos, and we know that on Seder night we make reference to it in the Haggadah, that the makkos are divided into three groups. I put on the sheet Datzach, Adash, and Bachav, 3, 3, and 4, and the Kli Yoker has got a very beautiful mahalach in explaining what these three groupings are all about. And as ever, there's a lot more going on sort of behind the scenes. So let's go through the Kli Yoker. It's quite a long piece, but I'll try and break it up, and it's certainly worth the effort. Says the Kli Yoker. This is in Shmos Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Koi Omar Hashem, Bezois Teida, Ki Ani Hashem. Loshen Zeh Ne'mar, B'makir Rishayna Shel Tzeda Datzach. This is the introductory Pasuk of the first three Makkos, Datzach, Dam Tzfadeh Kinim. Koi Omar Hashem, Bezois Teida Ki Ani Hashem. Through this you will know that I am Hashem. That's number one. V'chein, B'makir Rishayna Shel Tzeda Adash, and in the opening Pasuk of the next group of three, Adash, Oroiv, Deve, and Shchin, Ne'mar, Leman teida ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz. The pasuk says that you should know ani Hashem bekerev haaretz, amongst the people, amongst the land. V'chein b'makkah rishena shasei de'ba'achov, and then in the first pasuk of the last grouping, ba'achav barod arbe choshech and b'chiris makas b'chiris ne'ma ba'avur teida ki ein kamoini b'chol haaretz. So you've got three different psukim introducing the three different groups of makas. Now, says the Kli Yoker, Gam Habarbanel Nisoira Alzeh. The Habarbanel also picks up on this, a different posuk introducing the three groups. Opirish, and his explanation of it is, She Paro Hayachelek Al Shleish Advarim. Because Paro theologically denied three aspects. Ho'echod, the first was Metzias Hashem, the very existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Yisborach, ki kicheish b'Hashem, he denied the very existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yomer lo hu v'lo yodati es Hashem. The Pasuk says, I don't know who he is, I deny him. Al kei ne'ma b'makar rishayna, b'zois teida ki ani Hashem. So the function, the objective of the first three makas was to show Paro that I exist. Now, Hashnia, the second theological issue, if you like, was, he argued and said, "Imtim tzalema shiyesh eloika benimza." Let's say there is a God, says Paroi. Mikol makom ena mashkiach b'shvelim. He's not particularly interested in what's going on in this world. Al zeh ne'mar, on that, the pasuk says, "Ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz." I am Hashem bekerev haaretz. I actually do know what's going on in this world. Hashlishishu, and the third sort of theological denial of Paro was Shayochelek al Yecheles Hashem. He was denying the ability of Hakadosh Baruch Hu Loimar Sheinu Yochla Leshamles Hateva Klal, that he can't change the rules of nature. Al Zeh Ne'mar Ki Ein Kamoini B'Chol Haaretz. There is no one like me in the whole world. Klomer Yochel Lifal Kechefzei. I.e., he can do. He can actually do, and he can change nature. So that is the Abarbanel's pshat in the three psukim, introducing the three stages, the three groupings of the makas. Number one, denial of Hashem. Number two, not aware of what's going on. And number three, unable to involve himself in this world. V'oima ani, says the Kli Yoker, l'hoisif bir advar. I want to add to his explanation. L'hachnis kol sholesh makas tachas sug echot. To explain this theme in reference to each of the makas in that group. Because the first three makas, Dam Tzfadeh Akinim, they come to prove the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Mitzrayim would say, the Nile is our God. Ein oid milvadoi. There's nothing else but the Nile. Al kein osa Hashem shvotim be'eloheihem. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged and punished their God, the Nile. That there is a God over and above your Nile. Al kei nemeb makas hayar bezeis teida kiyane Hashem. Through this you will know that I exist. In reference to the makah of dam. Next paragraph. Uve inyan hatzvardim, in reference to the frogs, shesharat hayar that came out of the river, of the Nile, hayre shegam hayar yishroitz tevarim ha-ma'amitim mitzias Hashem, Yisparach, because even that will authenticate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Paro hayu mechal Hashem v'omar lo yodati es Hashem. Paro was blaspheming and saying, I don't know who this God is. Al kein hodiah hayar ki roi lekadosh Hashem. Therefore, the very river testified that actually, you don't know who he is, but you should actually be mekadosh Hashem. You've got to sanctify him. Ki hatzfaradim kitru Hashem berabim. They publicly sanctified Hashem. Kadisa, like the Gemara says in Pesachim and Gimel and Beis, Shechananya Mishal Vazari and Mosru Nafshem al Kiddush Hashem. They gave over their lives al Kiddush Hashem. And how did they know to do that? V'lomdu kal v'chayim emi hatzfaradim she'olum b'tanurim. Because the frogs went into the ovens, they were moist and nefesh, and they learned from there the importance of being mekadosh Hashem. Like the Medrash says, that those that went in the oven never actually died. Okay. Uvakinim. And with the next one, with lice, Nemar, Etzbalokimi. That the actual Egyptian said, this is the hand of God. They also sort of coronated God. And the admission of the protagonists is like actual testimony. So you see, says the Kli Yakar, like the Abarbanel says, the first three comes to counter Paro's claim that there is no God, and therefore it says, Koyama Hashem b'zeis teida kiyani Hashem, so it explains the Kli Yakar, and that is really the theme, if you like, of the first three makas, Dam Tzvadei Akinim, all point to the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good. That's the first group. Next paragraph, I'm about halfway through this box. V'seida adash, and when it comes to the grouping of the next three, Orev Deveshchin, Nirmaz, this hints, ki hu yisporach mashkiach lemata b'chol pratuation. As the Barabanel explains, this goes to the second theological denial of Paro, that God doesn't know what's going on in this world. So, the next three, each of the makas, prove to the contrary. Because they say, yeah, God, you know, is involved in the big picture. He's not involved in the detail, sort of between various people, between various locations. It's not in the detail. It's all one big chulin. There'll be a volcano which will, you know, apply to everybody. There'll be a flood which affects everyone. Everyone is caught up in it. That's why the Makkah of Orev addresses that. I differentiate between those who live in Eretz Goshen, that my people are standing on. There won't be any Orev. So you see, that's demonstrating that Kodesh Baruch Hu is aware and can differentiate about what's going on in this world. That there'll be Orov over here, but not over here. Uva Shakodesh Baruch Mashkiach al kol prateh ishim. He's in the detail. Lekach ne'em Hashem leman teida ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz. That's what the pasuk saying. Lo ma shehashkachosi haprotis gam betachtoinim. My divine providence is also on the lower realms. And so too, the next makah. V'chein b'makas hadever. With wild animals, ksiv. Sorry, with the pestilence, with the plague on the animals. HaKadosh Baruch Hu differentiated between the animals of the Mitzrayim and those of Israel. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demonstrating that he can differentiate, he can know the difference in the detail. And lastly, the third of the second set, v'chein b'shchin with boils, shoy ha'evek perech b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. This dust went over the whole of Mitzrayim. V'af ha'pikein hivtel ben Yisrael and Mitzrayim. And yet, there's a distinction between Mitzrayim and Yisrael. So you see in the second set of the three makas 4, 5, and 6, in the makas of Adash, of Orev, Dev, and Shchin, there's a demonstration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu knowing the details of what's going on in this world in terms of location, in terms of people, etc., etc. Now, what about the last three? This is very interesting. Besaid de Ba'achov, in the last four makas, Borod, Arbe, Choshech, and Makas Becheres, Pirush Habarbanel, Shebo'u La'ames Yecholes Hashem Yisbarach. It's coming to show the ability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'li nira, and appears to me, says the Kli Yakar, Sheparoi Ta'on Shtei Rishuyos Heim. Paroi said, there are two deities, there are two gods. Al-Kei Nema B'maka Rishoyna Al-Sei D'Bachov L'man Teida Ki Ein Komoini B'chol Ha'aretz. Therefore, the introduction of this last set, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there is no one else. There is no one like me in this whole world. Rotzalomar, ki ein oid muvadu yisbarach, eze rishosacher. There's no other deity like you think, Paro. Michal shaparo ton sheyesh oid eloya. Acher, v'nirin hadvarim, sheton ze amazl tlev v'hashemesh. What's he referring to? He's referring to the zodiac of the sheep, which is their god, v'hashemesh, and the sun. Therefore, last paragraph, ki motzinu, she... Amazing. The last four makas, therefore, emasculating or reducing the ability or frustrating the deity which Paro thinks exists, i.e. the mazolus, the mazel of the tler, the sun, how so? This is what the Kli Yakar says. Ki beredes haborod, because when the hail came down, mistomai shamayim misgadrim ba'ovin, it was getting darker with clouds. Ad shelo yochlu liros hashemesh kol zman yiridus haborod, when it was hailing, you probably couldn't see the sun, right? Like a regular day in England. Uvamakas ha'arbe ksiv vayakem es ein haaretz, when it was arbe, locusts, it says vayakes es ein haaretz, you couldn't see, it was covering the whole ground, the whole land. That means that it was covering up the sun. That's why it was dark. And certainly in the Makkah of Choshech, and so too Makkah's Bechoris, which took place in the middle of the night. That all refers to the Makkah of, to the claim of Paro, who says that there is another deity, there is the sun, there is the Tler. So fine. So we do this in the middle of the night where there's no sun, and I'll show you that I actually control. Or we do this we produce a makkah called Choshech, which is going to show you that I can actually overpower your sun. Al kein nema bebarad asher lo hayo kamayu, v'chein ba'arba nema lefonav lo hayo arba kamayu, v'chol zeh moifes lemayma ki ein kamayni b'chol aretz. There's no one like me. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying. V'chol shkein makkas b'chayrim, shehu simen lahachnos mazel tleh. Because this is Makas Becheris, which is a way of subduing the mazel of Tler, Becher L'chala Mazels, who is the Becher for all of the Mazolas. It's the first of all the zodiac signs. So a very, very interesting Kli Yakar, again explaining that the categorization of Datzach, Adash, Bachav, which we famously refer to on Seder night, according to Abarbanel, refers to the three denials of Paro. Number one, there is no God. Number two, he doesn't know what's going on. Number three, he's unable to interfere. That's the Abarbanel's take, and therefore the three psukim exactly address those points. But the Kli Yakar explains how each of the makkas and each of the groups come to address the denials of Paro. So a very important and a very interesting Kli Yakar. Okay, let's press on. Next piece. This is a very interesting observation which I saw in the writings of Rabbi Yaakov Bender, quoting the Mashkiach of Matis Yo Salomon. I thought it was appropriate to say some Torah in Matis Yo's name. Nebuchi passed away last week, and I don't know if the Shiva's finished, but possibly still finished, maybe not even finished. So it's appropriate to mention some Divrei Torah that Matis Yo would share. So this is a fascinating observation of Matis Yo. The pasuk says in this week's parasha, "Vayoma Hashem al Moshe, Emor el Aharon kach matchov v'netei yotcha al meimim Mitzrayim." Says the pasuk that Hashem says to Moshe, "Tell Aaron, take your staff, your stick, and netei yotcha al meimim Mitzrayim, and you, Aaron, you hit the waters of Mitzrayim, you hit the Nile to change that water into dung." That was the first of the 10 makas. And Rashi says later, on the pasuk in the next parak, in parak ches, pasuk is base, Vayoma Hashem Moshe Emer El Aaron Neteis Matcho V'Haches Afar Haaretz V'Oyel Kinim. In the third of the makas, when we're going to hit the ground, again, it's not Moshe who does it. It's Aaron who does it. Now, why? So famously, Rashi says, Emer El Aaron, says Rashi, Lo Hoya Ha'ofa Kedai Lilkos Al Dei Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu could not hit the ground. Why? Lefi shehegin olov, because the ground protected him. Because after all, the ground is what saved Moshe Rabbeinu. When he killed the Mitzri, he buried the Mitzri, and therefore he sort of buried the evidence, as it were, and therefore it saved him, and therefore he felt gratitude to the ground, and so too with the Ur, which saved him when he was a little baby floating down the Nile. So therefore, Loka Ali De'ar, and it was Aaron HaKohen who did it. Says Ramatisyo, a very, very interesting insight, which I never thought about. So, therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu showed gratitude, he himself didn't do it. When he buried the Mitzri in the earth, how long was that successful for? How long did it really, you know, was it Megin, did it protect Moshe Rabbeinu? You know how long for? One night. Did I write that?
Yeah.
One night. Cheating. One night. Why? Because the Pasuk says, well, we discussed it last week, the next day, the Pasuk says, he went out to his brothers and he saw Lomasake Reacha, and then he was informed upon. So for one night, the whole thing was one night. And that's the degree of gratitude you've got to have, that you can't even hit the ground sometime later. And it's, by the way, a long time later. We discussed it last week, the missing years of Moshe Rabbeinu, we're talking 60 plus years later. He was a young man, the Ramban says between 12 and 20, the Yalkut says 18, he's now 80 years old. So this is 60 plus years later. And 60 years later, you hit the Mitzri in the ground, and for one night it saved you, and you've got a debt of gratitude. Says Ramatisyo, yeah, absolutely. If the ground could make sure that you slept comfortably, or more comfortably, for one night, that deserves a debt of gratitude. That is how powerful Hakaras HaTov is. And I came across, maybe you've read this as well, it's quite well known, that last week was Rav Dessler's Yahrzeit. I think it was 60 years, or I think it was a significant Yahrzeit. So Rav Dessler here from, you know, we're very proud of his English connections. So he was here for many, many years during the 1930s and 40s, founded the Gates of Kollel, etc., etc. Now, interestingly, the story is told of Dessler that he was, because of the turmoil of the Second World War, his son was learning in yeshiva in Europe and managed, when the war broke out, and managed to go to Shanghai and to eventually through Siberia and to Shanghai. And then he managed to make his way to America. He went to, and he finally settled in Cleveland. So Rav Dessler had a ben yochid called Rav Nochum Zev Dessler, who was a very successful mechanach in America. But he was apart from his father, Rav Dessler, for I think 7 years, in his formative years. And Rav Dessler wasn't able to see him until 1947, so many years later. And eventually they managed to get together, and he was a very emotional person, Rav Dessler. You see the letters he wrote. And when he was reunited with his son, you know, as part of the conversation, he said, "And you know, when you were lonely here, growing up in America, who looked after you? Who helped you?" So Rav Nochum Zev Dessler told his father that Eliezer Silva of Cincinnati, the famous one of the famous personalities of 20th century America, he was the one who really helped me. So Rav Dessler says, "Okay, so we need to thank him." So the son thought that Rav Dessler will pick up a phone and will call Cincinnati and will thank Rav Eliezer Silva. They said, "No, we're going in person." He says, "But Daddy, it's 9.5 hours by train." He says, "Okay, yeah, I understand." They went 9.5 hours by train, overnight. They were standing outside Rav Eliezer Silva's house early in the morning, waiting for him to come out of his house to go to Shacharis in Cincinnati. They couldn't say Shalom Aleichem, couldn't meet, but they went with him to shul. He invited them, of course, back for breakfast. They sat at breakfast, and he thanked him very much for looking after his son and for his kindness. And then Rav Eliezer Silva kept asking, "So how can I help you? What are you here for?" No, I just came to say thank you. He couldn't believe it. 9.5 hours each way to say thank you. But that's a Baal Musa like Rav Dessler. The debt of Hakaras HaTov is so great that that's what Rav Eliezer Silva observed in Rav Dessler. Okay, I think we're out of time. We're out of time, it's late already. All right, Emes Hashem, the next idea we'll have to revisit on a future occasion, Emes Hashem. Okay, Peseda.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.